Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, the After Show, episode 108 for the 13th of November, 2010. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. Very, very, very good.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Fantastic is good. You need to get closer to your mic, though.
Yeah. Well, I will actually get closer to my mic. I will also say that it's still really hot. In fact, it's probably getting hotter.
It is. Well, it's getting later in the afternoon, and as we know, the heat goes up in the afternoon. The after show this week, guys, I got to warn you, is probably going to be a little bit short because we are really, it's like cooking in here, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just going to get hotter as summer goes on. We're going to have to come up with some better fans or something. I don't know. Anyway, this is the Geek Actually show. This is the after show for the Geek Actually Network. It used to be an unstructured after show, but we're kind of a little bit more structured nowadays because we've got Delta Knight giving us lots of links. And so we kind of, it's kind of morphing into more of a weekend geek than anything else, which is kind of cool. And I like that a lot. And our researcher for this show is, of course, David Murray, also known as Delta Knight in our chat room. So we want to thank him for all of the links in the after show. He sends them through to us. We parse them out, pick the ones that we like the best, and move on from there. And we're going to roll straight into some of these today because, as I say, it is very hot in here. But I want to say first off the bat, let me just get my board set up here. I haven't opened up the after show board. Here we go. Straight off the bat, we want to say that... what's going on here? My God, the board. See, it's so hot, my board's even all out of control. We want...
The computers are different melting. Show.
There we go. Computers are starting to melt down. Simon Pegg apparently tweeted this week a picture. And we don't know if it's a real picture or not, but Simon Pegg tweeted it, so I guess we should take it mildly seriously. It was this image... Star Trek, summer 2012. So I guess the sequel is finally starting to take shape and starting to fly. So we might be seeing a Star Trek sequel soon, hopefully. At this point, I do know that the script, I don't think, is even written at this point. So I don't think we can take it too seriously as, oh my God, Star Trek is in the can. Mm. They haven't even started shooting it yet. J.J. Abrams is still making Super 8. So, but...
It's interesting to think that. I'd love to know what's going on there, why he would do something like that. Or maybe he's just been a jerk.
Or maybe he's just being a geek, found it online, went, oh, cool, tweeted it out. Who knows? But
you'd figure him being, you know, the head of us geeks, you know, that he would be a little bit smarter than that. But you never know.
Well, you know, geeks get excited. But while we're talking about geeks and Star Trek. Excuse me, I have a drink here. While we're talking about geeks and Star Trek, I think it is also interesting to note that Geordi LaForge, LeVar Burton, for the real actor's name, Geordi LaForge from Star Trek The Next Generation, also tweeted this week, love following tweets. Gizmodo actually has a copy of the tweets, and basically it says, NASA put out a tweet that said, NASA shuttle managers have scrubbed today's launch attempt of Discovery's STS-133 mission due to a hydrogen gas leak. Next attempt to be announced. LeVar Burton wrote, at NASA, you say you have a coolant leak. I think I might be able to help. Which is just genius.
That's so geeky.
That is so brilliant. So I think that is terrific. Now, what else we got? Oh, we like to have our moron of the week. Last week we had the guy driving his car while reading, while iPadding. No, what was it? Kindling while talking on his phone. This week, we don't have video of this one, unfortunately, but this week's moron of the week, and this was just joyous. Oh, now it's not loading. Oh, here it comes. Oh, no, this page can't be loaded. I'll have to paraphrase because the link suddenly isn't working. But to paraphrase, a bandit broke into a person's house and was caught because he stopped to watch porn on the person's laptop.
Say again, Dave.
According to the link at Gizmodo, which this link isn't opening right now, I'll have it corrected for the show notes. But basically, he broke into a person's house and stopped. He paused because he wanted to watch some porn on the person's laptop. before leaving. And, of course, the person came home and caught them. So he's now in jail. But why would you stop? It's almost as good as, if you remember the story from many weeks ago, about the guy who broke into a house, burgled the house, and they caught him because he stopped to do some Facebooking. And left his account open. You know,
so
and you sit there and
good.
Go, oh, man.
Yeah, Kellison said it right. It must have been some good
must have been some damn good porn. Damn, absolutely. And Delta Knight says about LeVar Burton, best tweet ever. Absolutely, I agree with him. All right.
Sterilization an option? Unfortunately not, man.
Sorry?
Don't worry. Okay. Chat room comment.
Chat room comment. All right. We also have to bring up a safety tip for all of our male users out there. If you remember going back several weeks ago, we did a story about how laptops were actually starting to cook people's legs, and people were getting discoloration on their legs because the proteins in the legs were starting to cook, and it would go back to normal after a while, but really laptops aren't for laps, and they do get hot, especially Macs. An article has come out. This is actually from Geekology, basically saying that a new study has come out basically saying we shouldn't be putting our laptops on our laps if we're guys, because it's basically cooking our gonads.
Yeah, I heard this before.
Yeah, well, so have I. It's the same as wearing tight underwear or tight jeans, but apparently this is becoming a real thing because so many people sit with their laptops on their laps and their little spermies are being cooked up in there.
My God, it's terrifying.
But then again, you got to look at it this way and say, well, you know what? Some of the really hardcore nerds out there probably shouldn't breed anyway. So this could be like some sort of natural selection if you look at it that way. And Callison says, simple solution, use an iPad. Well, there is that. But you can't play World of Warcraft on an iPad, and that's what they're doing.
However, and Dave, I have to say that I've got to bring this up because it is such a geek thing, and it is so incredibly important to the geek community at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I am playing right now for the first time ever.
Okay.
I haven't actually got into this craze, but a lot of geeks will know about Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I am currently playing Minecraft on an iPad.
Hey.
Now, this is new to me, because I don't exactly know what I'm doing, and I think there's someone yelling at me up in the corner, probably telling me I'm putting something on top of something.
Shit excellence, it said, as it passed
shit
by.
Shit excellence.
Shit
there you
excellence,
go.
As it passed by.
But yes, no, I actually am playing it on there, thanks to one of the guys in our room, and it has a whole bunch of different blocks I can use, and I can also... And
what exactly is Minecraft?
I think it's a building thing.
So many people are talking about it. I see these pictures all over the line. This is my Minecraft thing. Is it just like a Lego set or something? Is it like
it's
a virtual Lego set?
Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's just people learning. I think it's just a building program, and people build, you know, big, exciting worlds and create huge, amazing things. Yeah, a creative sandbox game. I couldn't have put it better. It
sounds a little bit like Second Life to me.
Except for, you know, it seems more that I didn't pay for an account, Dave. You can just log in and build things. And it's like I'm creating a wall right now. It's not much. It's just a wall, but it's there. And you can change your block sets and you can put different blocks and you can chat and type to people and so on and so forth.
All right, I'm going to go. I'll load up Minecraft tonight and have a look at it. I'm curious.
So anyone that is interested, it is called Minecrafted and it is $1.19. And there are free servers for those people that are worried about paying for the game.
Numero Zero says Second Life is more role-playing, except there's no goals. And most of the pleasure in Second Life really is just building things, you know? So anyway, or I guess the virtual sex that everybody's having in there.
But, yay, virtual sex.
Yay, virtual sex. Now,
the other one. That's really dumb.
Northy179 says, if you play WoW, which is World of Warcraft for those who don't know, if you play WoW with a touchpad, you deserve not to be able to father children.
Intense. But you know what? I have to back him up on that one.
All right. So let's go from cooking testicles to sharks. What do you think?
Sharks.
Sharks. When you thought it was safe to go back in the water, they take to the air. And I've got a video of this one. We won't play the whole video because it goes on forever and ever and ever. It's very long. And there's no dialogue or anything. But here's a video of the shark taking to the air. It is a remote-controlled airplane that looks like a shark.
Right.
Now, it is actually a jet, by the way. It is using an electro-ducted something, an ED-something engine This thing is fast, though. Look at how fast and maneuverable this thing is. The video for the audio listeners is on the show notes.
Now, this is what you're telling me. It's piloted by a shark, right?
No, it's not piloted by a shark.
Oh.
No, it's just a person. They've got the nitroplanes.com has an entire site of jets that they sell.
Because I'm kind of with Northy. He's saying flying sharks would make an awesome horror movie.
Somebody actually said in the comments to this article, they said they want to get it and then fly it really low across beaches. somebody else put in the comments field, does it go in the water? Now, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that,
if you could actually,
hit
the water with it, go around the water, then take back off into the air, that would be pretty cool. Anyway, so that was the flying shark. I just thought it was pretty cool. I mean, look at this thing go. I love remote-controlled airplanes, by the way. I've got to think for it. I love the sound it makes. It's so cool. It's so cool. All right, so anyway, there's our flying shark. And I just thought that was definitely a coolness factor to it. But this one, Josh, is for you. This one is for you because I was never a huge console gamer until the Xbox 360. I'm sure you played with all the Nintendo, Super Nintendos, and everything else. This is a new...
I did. Most definitely did.
And we were discussing last week about the donut carrier and the sort of padlocks that you would put on your donut carrier,
yes,
if you remember.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, here's a new padlock for you. This is basically the cheat code padlock. And the way you actually operate this padlock is by doing the same sort of maneuvers that you would use to put in cheat codes into things like Super Nintendo. So you would actually go up, up, left, left, right, right, left, left, down, down, right, right, down, down.
Is it actually made by Master as well?
It is Master, yes. It's a solid lock, and there is actually a video on the
website. You know what? It sounds great in theory, Dave, but everybody's just going to use down to forward punch, and then it's all over, and you'll just know the code to everybody's code.
Well, what's really interesting, if you go and have a look at the video, there's all different codes for it. I guess you can set your own, but it can go from simple, like, four swipes...
Yeah.
To really complicated ones. And if you look at the video, there's one where the guy actually has it set, and he's literally going like this on the video. He's going up, up, down, down, right, 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 left, left, down, down, up, up, up. It's like he's there and go, that's too much work for a padlock. You know? It's like, I don't want to work that hard for this padlock. But it's an interesting idea for all those people who are so used to that kind of idea, rather than like scrolling little numbers, you can just kind of do this flicking around on this thing. It's kind of interesting. Kind of weird, but kind of interesting. And we go from that to the most awesome paper boat ever made. Now, we've all made paper boats.
We have.
We've, you know, on a rainy day, you make that paper boat and the water's going down the gutter and you put the little paper boat in the water and the paper boat runs down the gutter. How about this one? This guy decided to make a really big paper boat and ride in it.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
This is a really...
He's putting a lot of faith in that.
Well, apparently, he did kind of cheat. He does say that he kind of cheated. It's not made out of normal paper. It's made out of the same sort of paper that they make, like, fruit juice containers out of. So it's actually a waxed, thick card, basically, that it's been made out of. It's called the HMS Origami.
Yeah.
German artist Frank Bolter created it. And it says that he wasn't normal construction paper. He says that it was actually the tougher sort, which you use for juice boxes and other drink cartons. Once made, it measured 5.4 meters in length, just long enough for a Daily Mail hack to hop inside and sail it down the river. So there you go. It lasted long enough to take a ride in it. But that is the most awesome paper boat. I want to know, though, on a boat that size, how did he fold it? I mean, did he have a team of people helping him fold this thing?
Maybe that's the whole point of his art.
Maybe, who knows? But it's cool. That's cool, and that is really, you know, I mean, he's an elderly gentleman, but that is so geeky. That is such a geeky thing to do. Now, with the after show, we have a couple of sections now, and you know that one of our sections is just crazy-ass stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to say, the most crazy-ass thing that I have seen in a long time is, well, actually, okay, hold on. Let me just stress straight off the bat.
Yes, that I really am laughing
think,
right now.
That I think the geeks really need to get out more often, all right? Because I think if you do what this next story is about, you really don't get out often enough, okay? Now, with that little disclaimer at the beginning of this, this is a man who actually decided to make his own sex toy.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah. I have a picture. I'm saving the picture. We're getting
okay,
to it.
I've got the
feeling. I'm just going to tell you right now that this is called the Pool Noodle Girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Okay. It's a masturbatory contraption. I'm reading from Gizmodo. Comprised of a pool noodle, a few condoms, and a plunger.
Oh, well, you know, he's resourceful.
And he says, I hope your Friday night doesn't resemble this in any way.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, to quote the inventor.
Yeah.
On as it says here, to record, here's the inventor recounting his eureka moment. He says he took the pool noodle. He says he cut it up a while. He cut it up while he was on the can taking a shit, so no one would ask me what the fuck I was doing. I was shoving a condom into this thing, and then I saw the plunger, and one thing led to another. I think I was plunging the condom into the slit with the plunger, and I thought, ah, fucking hell, I could stick this to the mirror, and that's pretty much it. And Josh, here it is.
Oh, God. Oh, my. Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's something you're not going to unsee.
Oh, God.
Northy says the MacGyver of sex toys. I'm sorry, I had never actually thought of a pool noodle as a sex toy before, and quite frankly...
You know what? But this guy had, and that makes him an inventor, and you just some other dude.
And quite frankly, I don't think I'm ever going to look at a pool noodle the same way again.
Oh, dude, Dave, did you have to do that?
I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do it again. Although, while we're talking about sex toys, this is actually not a sex toy, so don't panic. We're not going to do another one. This is actually about Alabama. Oh, what is it? Forrest Gump. Alabama! All right. I didn't know. And look, Northy sent this article through, and at first, the first glance is, it says Alabama shop to offer the first drive-through sex shop. So you can go through, you order your stuff. You want a dildo, condoms, blah, blah, blah. You drive up to the window, and you get it through the window. It's a drive-through sex shop, and that's weird enough. But actually, as I was reading the article, I kind of went, do you know what? There's actually a different story in here to what was originally presented to me. And that is, I didn't know that the U.S. Supreme Court in 2007, earlier than that, actually, that was appealed in 2007, 1998, I should say, banned sex toys in Alabama. Have you ever heard of a place banning sex toys? Apparently, it's part of the anti-obscenity laws that were sponsored by State Senator Tom Butler. Basically, the sex toys were not the intentional result of this, but it just happened to fall that way. And this sex shop has had to really fight to get its place there, because you can only buy sex toys. And this is the part that got me. You can only get sex toys if you have a genuine health-related reason. Could you imagine going to your doctor and saying, I need you to prescribe me a dildo.
I don't get sex, and I need sex.
Can I have a toy? And he would say, go get yourself a pool noodle.
Wrong.
It's all very wrong. And I didn't know that about Alabama, and apparently they are trying to appeal this law, trying to get sex toys back in the market. And all I can say is, good luck, Alabama. You deserve your dildos. I just think that it's so funny that you have to go in there. It says if you use this drive-through sex shop, you actually have to sign a document when you're buying your sex toys to say that you have a genuine health-related reason.
My God, can you imagine trying to do that? That just sounds so complicated and so unnecessary.
Delta Knight in the chat room says, I'm fat and lonely. I need a sex toy. I think that's a good medical. I think that's a good medical need.
Yeah, I know, but you shouldn't have to go to a doctor to have to do that. That's kind of wrong.
It's wrong in every sense of the word. In every sense. Now, this was quite frankly the funniest thing of the day.
Yeah.
And I don't have graphics for this. You're just going to have to ride along with this, because he sent these through, and I don't even know if these were going to be his favorite thing, but Delta sent this through, and I was actually laughing out loud to myself reading these as I was putting them into the show notes. This is about autocorrect on the iOS devices and autocorrect gone wrong. And some of these are friggin' hilarious. I'll read you a conversation. It says, anything up here or am I heading that way? Answer, head this way. Person says, older you on a bot. Person says, what the fuck? The person says, ha ha ha, that was driving in traffic text. Person says, what did it mean? Okay, see you in a bit. Older ya on a bot means see you in a bit. This is the simple ones, okay? How about listening to some Timberland sitting naked and blogging? Oh, I'm taking a bubble bath.
Wow, so that's the...
Naked and blogging is sitting in a bubble bath, all right? This is the article on Gizmodo is called Damn you, autocorrect. Okay. And you guys have experienced this for me. If you remember in DLC, every now and again, I come into your chat room and I'll type something in, and it's not what I meant to write. And people sit there and go, what are you talking about? How about this one? Cool, I'll bring you some Viagra. And then he immediately answers back and says, cigars, stupid text. And the answer was, I want both. this one over here from Kathy says, he's a little birch. Bitch, thank you, auto-incorrect. And then the person replies and says, yeah, well, I'm done with birches. This one says, okay, let me get my hose on. Shoes, let me get my shoes on. Now, we got better ones. They actually, this one says, just got off work, let's bang under the stars. Immediately writes back and says, hang under the stars. But there is also apparently, when you dig a bit deeper into this, Delta also sent through to us a site called, where is it? It's coming up here now. The site is actually called Damn You Autocorrect. And there is an entire site dedicated to this. One of these says, ah ha 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 ha, yeah, I'm good. Might go rent women later. Aha, you. DVDs! I meant DVDs! Fucking autocorrect. How it gets women from DVDs, I don't know. Yeah. I like, where is it? Found parking, but it wanted to actually change it to Frobisher. Go figure. Right. Where are we? There was another one here that almost killed. Oh, because it's auto-corrected. Sorry, it's not auto-corrected. It's updated since I was last at the site. Yep. So the ones I was laughing at have moved down the page now. Hold on.
Damn.
There was some really funny ones. Look, go have a look at this. Here we go. Ha ha, I own the ramp. That's my turd. I mean turf. here we go. All right, follow this conversation. How long are you going to be there? I have stuff for you. I'll wait. Is your dad coming? No. Oh, I thought he's coming here. I talked to him the other day. I think he's at Tito Dildo's.
What was that supposed to be?
Tito Dolfo's. And then the person writes back and says, laugh out loud. Love dildos. Anyway, it goes on. Go check out, by all means, Damn You Autocorrect. I think it's damnyouautocorrect.com, I think, is the site. It is really, really funny. Damnyouautocorrect.com. Yes. Well worth seeing. Oh, let me change the camera. Here we go.
There you go. I made GA on the thing. I'm also standing on top of a very, very high platform. So, anyone who plays Minecraft, I officially made something in Minecraft. There you go. I hope you're happy. Leave me alone.
Numero Zero says it may not actually be that URL, but there is a site for that. No, this is the URL. I've got it right in front of me. It's damnyouautocorrect.com. And the original article was a Gizmodo article, which will be in the show notes. Both of these links are in the show notes. Very funny stuff, though. So well worth having a look at. But that will take us from weird stuff into our new regular section of the day, which is Delta's Weird Geek Food.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, Delta's Weird Geek Food this week is actually three separate links. First one, I only have one image for. It's actually an article on OD, which is about the strangest canned foods. Now, we've talked about chicken in a can, right? And it goes through this whole list. And I'll just read some of these to you. We don't need to see the pictures. But I've got one picture. One of these I had to grab to show you this very disturbing image. But first of all, let's see. Number one on the 14 strangest canned foods, of course, is the canned cheeseburger. Okay? We've seen that before. Number two, canned whole chicken. Sweet Sue's canned whole chicken. Okay? Number three, canned scorpion.
Okay. Awesome.
Number four, canned reindeer.
Right, of course.
Reindeer pate, actually. Now, this is my favorite, and this is the one I actually captured the picture from. This is number five, canned fish mouths.
Oh, dude. Oh, wow.
Oh,
What the what kind of fish is that? It has teeth. Big ass teeth.
Is that just not the most disturbing? If you imagine opening your can and seeing that sticking up at you.
Why would you eat that?
Canned fish mouths. Not the whole fish, just the mouth, apparently.
Just the mouth. And the mouth of a very scary-looking fish that I don't think...
piranha or something?
That looks genetically engineered.
It's horrible. It's like...
it looks something out of a horror movie.
I know, it's horrible. It's just horrible. We'll just shoot through the rest of this canned silkworm pupae.
Duh.
Canned rattlesnake meat. Canned bird nest drink. Canned pork brains in milk gravy.
Ugh.
Ugh. Thai green curry with crocodile.
That sounds nice.
Canned roasted crickets with eggs.
Oh, wow, because those two sound like they go they really do, together. Yeah.
Tom Piper's canned tongues. Yeah. Canned haggis. Haggis is disgusting already anyway. Can you imagine canned haggis? Canned duck fat. Mm-mm. Got to get me some of that.
Oh, dude, this is fucked up.
All right, so there's your 14 weird canned things. But just to continue with the weird geek food, because I love weird geek food. You know, that's one of my favorites. Those wacky Canadians are back. If you remember last week,
The
same guys. Last week we did the greasiest sandwich ever. Here's their new creation. Are you ready?
Yeah, we got drunk again. Today, we kill the double down. What's the double down? The manly sandwich on a fast food menu? Or nothing but an overrated little bit? We got our burgers, bacon, chicken, onion rings, macaroni and cheese, buns, ketchup, rum, friends, and we're gonna do it proper this time. Who's the colonel now? Us.
5,214 calories. Right? Yeah, I just don't know if I put it all together quite this way. I like the macaroni and cheese. It's an interesting touch. So what do we got? We got chicken patties, meat patties, pikelets, bacon.
Kellison. They survived?
If you could just look at this little sandwich, the double down, the double kill.
Yeah. Here they go.
That bite just hurt my jaw.
It's amazing.
I want it all in my mouth at once.
Oh my god.
Next time, we're eating a library.
Next time we're eating a library. Those guys are insane. I just love the fact when you see them eating the size of that sandwich. It looks like, you know, when you go to a kebab shop and they've got the meat on the thing. Yeah. It looks like they're eating the entire thing of one of those by the time they're finished. It's vile.
That last line made it just all worth it.
Next time we're eating a library. All right. We actually have one more little piece of geek food. I don't have a picture for this, so don't worry. You're not going to get disgusted by it. But it's just a little interesting piece of science and shit. All right. So there was a story a while ago that talked about the everlasting Happy Meal. They were talking about the fact that the cheeseburgers in McDonald's Happy Meals are basically indestructible and they never rot.
Yeah.
And how many preservatives are in this thing if it just never rots? Excuse me. So these people basically got together and said, "Well, let's do the science on this. Well, kind of, and let's see if it is something to do with that cheeseburger or if it's just cheeseburgers in general." So what they did was they actually made a homemade cheeseburger and made it to the exact specifications and size of a cheeseburger. And funnily enough, what they found out was it wouldn't rot either. And it actually comes down to what they've finally figured out after doing, I think they did 8 or 9 various different samples on this. It's about the size and scale, because what causes the rot, of course, is moisture. Mm. And at that particular size, it just doesn't generate up enough moisture to generate up the rotting. It just basically dehydrates itself over time. They did also do a sample with a quarter pounder, and the quarter pounder rotted.
Oh.
So it's that magic size of the cheeseburger. Now, I would say to you that if you've left a cheeseburger out on the counter for a few weeks, I don't think I would eat it.
Don't.
No, don't eat it. Don't. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is it won't grow mold, is what they're looking at. They did also say that if you put it into a plastic bag or into a container, as he did in the film Supersize Me, it will go moldy because, of course, that traps in moisture. But it's just leaving it out in the open. According to them, their samples were a plain McDonald's hamburger stored on a plate in the open air outside of its wrapper. Sample 2 was a plain burger made from home ground fresh all-natural chuck, and exact dimensions of the McDonald's burger on a standard store-bought bun. Sample 3 was a plain burger with a homemade ground patty, but a McDonald's bun. Sample 4 was a plain burger with a McDonald's patty and a store-bought bun. Sample 5, a plain McDonald's burger. And you get the idea. They did all these various samples. None of them rotted.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So there's a bit of science and shit for you. It's not necessarily about... and this is my, I was talking to my lovely wife, Katie, who, as we all know, is a scientist. I was talking to her about this, and she was saying it's not actually about the preservatives. She doesn't actually think that the McDonald's food is as full of preservatives as people think it is. It is, but not the sort of preservatives you think. McDonald's food is loaded with salt and sugar. Salt and sugar are both natural preservatives. Mm-hmm. The bun, we know, has excess sugar in it because when we used to run a restaurant many years ago, we tried to get the same buns they use for a quarter pounder from Tip Top, who supplies their buns. Their recipe is only for McDonald's.
Yeah.
And the guy actually said to us, the reason why is it has a higher sugar content than any other bun on the market.
Yeah.
So the buns actually have more sugar, and you can taste it. The buns are sweet.
Yeah.
And we know that their food contains a lot of salt. So the salt and sugar combination is a natural preservative. It's not that they're adding lots of preservatives. It's just that it's naturally preserved.
Yeah.
It's like the French fries. If you remember in Supersize Me, if you haven't seen Supersize Me, the documentary, fantastic documentary, but in the end... there's a bonus feature on the disc where he actually takes all the McDonald's food, puts it into jars to see what would happen over time.
Yeah.
And the one thing that he said was that the French fries never rotted. They just stayed there. These bad boys just never went off. But as Katie said, they're very thin, thin, and they're covered in salt.
Yeah.
So it's like the cheeseburgers. It's about if you put normal chips in there, they're fatter. They have more moisture content. They're going to rot. Those French fries are very thin. They got lots of salt. They naturally preserve. There's nothing strange about that. Science is on his side.
Yeah, true.
Okay, we've got one piece of feedback, and then we're going to get out of here for the day. Our feedback comes from James from Melbourne. Thank you very much. And James, it was kind of an odd email. He said, "Hey, Dave, this is James from Melbourne. I just watched episode 2 of Walking Dead. I'm freaking terrified. I don't think I'll sleep for a week. I noticed I stopped breathing at about the 2-minute mark, and then I didn't bother for the rest of the show. Haven't been this scared since, holy shits, since ever. The show is gold. Of course, it takes a distant to the geek actually on Saturday. Sincerely, James from, well, you know where." Thank you, James.
Yeah, no, it's, look, episode 2, as we'll probably end up eventually reviewing, I actually have a review in the work for that one, look, it's a good episode, and it's very different from the first one.
Yes, it is. More action-packed than the second one, Ram. It's also not quite as gory. I thought the first one was actually consistently. There's those couple of scenes in the second one in particular. But overall, the zombies are already kind of backseating themselves. But anyway, I agree with you, though. I didn't think it was that scary, but I thought it was a really good show. I love Walking Dead. I think it's great. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get ourselves out of here. I think we're done for the day because it's really, really hot. I want to say thank you again to Delta Knight for all your links. I know we didn't put them all in. We can't put them all in, unfortunately. There's just too many of them, and we just kind of parse it down. If you agree, disagree, or want to throw something in here that you think might interest us, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. Drop us a voicemail, 02-801-13167. Get your Geek Actually swag at cafepress.com.au/geekactually or follow our fan page at facebook.com/geekactually. Remember, we also do Tech Actually and Film Actually, our two main shows. Find them on iTunes or go to geekactually.com. Find out everything about us. We do record this show live. Go to geekactually.com/live starting at 12 p.m. every Saturday. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and we record all three shows back-to-back, so you can just kind of dip in and out as you want to. We have friends out there, Movie Fan House, moviefanhouse.com, the Movie Fan Cast, Right This Instant, or the Talking Dead Cast podcast. Real Junkies, R-E-E-L, Junkies, they are movie podcasts like our Film Actually podcast. They are really fun. They drink a lot of tequila. Go find them at weekendronin.com or search for them on iTunes. DLC Live, found at rawdlc.com. Josh looks like he's about to pass out, so I'm running his ad for him.
We have Moe's. Give us money.
They have Moe's. Give them money. You can find them at rawdlc.com. They put out a weekly podcast, which they also go out live, usually, typically, on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Go check them out. You can also search for their podcast on iTunes. And I think we're on a record move out of here. I think we're pretty much done. You're asking for money. Listen to our Film Actually show for more details. But remember, we are trying to raise money for David David Storm's America Tour. You can donate right on the front page of geekactually.com. Read the post. You'll find out more information about it. And if that's all there is, it is so hot. I am getting out of here because I am hot. And we will say goodbye. Josh, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you all next week. We'll be right back.